Hello, this is Dick Hayden from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I shall be reading to you from Spare Times News and Notes of the Raleigh Outlaws of March 1, 2019 by Ginger Rush. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and has been edited for currency, clarity, and time constraints. Our annual chili soup stew and dessert cook-off was held Saturday, March 2, at the Fellowship Hall at Emmanuel Baptist Church, 2100 Noble Road in Raleigh. The time was from 4 to 8 p.m., and prizes were given for first, second, and third place in each category. And Friday night was the outlaw deadline for entries for the Winston-Salem and for the national tournament in Pittsburgh. The Forsyth Blind Bowlers invite everyone to the annual Charles E. Roan Invitational Blind Bowlers Tournament to be held on Saturday, March 16, 2019, at the Creekside Bowling Lanes, 1450 Trademark Boulevard, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Registration begins at 9 a.m. and bowling begins at 9:30. All teams should consist of four bowlers, one totally blind or equivalent, one sighted, and two of any vision level in between. Use last year's ABBA averages or a current average if you do not have an average from last year. Handicaps will be figured at 90%. Entry fees are $35 per bowler and are due to Winston by March the 6th. Please send all entry forms and money to Forsyth Blind Bowlers care of Jerry Mintz, P.O. Box 17101, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27116. Outlaw entries were due in the lane envelopes no later than Friday, March 1. Information about the outlaw, departure time, etc. will be determined soon. National Tournament Hotel Information. The 2019 ABBA National Tournament will be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on May 29 to June 3 of this year. Our host hotel is the Sheraton Station Square Hotel, 300 West Station Drive in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The room rate is $105 per night plus 14% tax. This would equate to almost $120 per night. Here's some new information. According to ABBA President A.J. Inglesby, you will not be charged for the first night of your stay. Each individual is responsible for booking their own accommodations. Should you need to cancel, you may do so up to 48 hours in advance in order to be refunded your deposit. Failure to cancel by this time will result in no refund. To reserve, please call 1-800-325-3535. Be sure to note that you are with the ABBA. Cutoff date to get the group rate is April 29, and the group rate will be honored 3 days before and 3 days after the tournament based upon availability. The hotel is located 18 miles from the Pittsburgh International Airport and 3 miles from the Amtrak train station. Average cab rate is $40 one way from the airport. Uber is approximately $25 each way, and Super Shuttle provides service at a discount price of $22 each way. They will also provide complimentary shuttle up to 3 miles of the hotel. Right outside the door of the hotel is the historic Station Square, a bustling 2-acre dining and entertainment complex. Station Square is the most popular dining and entertainment destination in Pittsburgh. We will be bowling at Noble Manor Lanes, 2440 Noblestown Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15205. They have 40 lanes, on-site pro shop, arcade lounge, and a snack bar. They will provide a breakfast and lunch menu for the tournament. Entry fees of $70 for the regular tournament and an additional $20 for the Masters event were due in the lane envelopes no later than March 1 to allow ample time to set up teams and submit forms to the tournament director, well before the March 15 deadline. Guests attending and not bowling will need to pay a $12 registration fee in order to attend tournament events at the hotel, such as hospitality, and or to ride the transportation for the tournament to the bowling alley. The Outlaw Board Meeting. We will have an Outlaw Board Meeting on Wednesday, March 6, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the bowling alley. Date and place are confirmed. We will be discussing the Pittsburgh tournament and our upcoming own tournament in May. Happy birthdays in March. We send a happy birthday to Francis Council, March the 6th, Ralph Height, March the 11th, and Van McLean Jr. on March the 30th. Sharon Benton is now doing a podcast for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. It's called Connect to Success. The first edition was on Tuesday, February 19, when she interviewed Eddie Weaver, former director of the Division of Services for the Blind. You can hear the podcast by going to the TRRS website at www.triangleReadingService.org and clicking on Podcast under the Listen bar, the Listen on the top navigation bar. Scroll down the list until you see Connect to Success. There are directions on the page for downloading and saving the podcast as an MP3 file also. SBBA Tournament Information. The Bowlers in Our League are invited to participate in the Southeastern Blind Bowling Annual Tournament. This year's tournament will be held in Hampton, Virginia, April 4, 5, and 6. Entry fees are $56 for singles, doubles, and teams, and an additional $25 for the masters. Any outlaws who would like to enter should have their fees in the lane envelopes no later than next Friday, March 8, and they should include their $6 SBBA sanction fee. We will be staying at the Crown Plaza Hampton Marina. Included is a breakfast for up to two people per room per day. The rooms are $104 plus tax for either two double beds or one king bed with a sleeper. The phone number to call for reservations is 757-727-8914. And when making reservations, be sure to let them know that you are with the Southeastern Blind Bowlers Association in order to get the special rate. The cutoff date is March 14. Reservations made after that date will be at a higher rate. The bowling competition will be held at Century Lanes, 1519 Pembroke Avenue, Hampton, Virginia, 23663. And their phone number is 757-722-2551. The scheduled events are as follows. Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m., we will have a short meeting at the hotel. Everyone is welcome to come and to participate because we value your opinions. Then at 8 p.m. until 10 p.m., there will be a hospitality room with light refreshments and plenty of socializing. At that time, you will be able to pick up your schedules. Saturday morning at 9 a.m., the bowling will begin with the team event. In the afternoon at 1 p.m., the Masters Tournament will be held. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and noon, if needed, the tournament will conclude with the doubles and singles competition. If you have not sanctioned with SBBA and would like to attend the tournament, you can include your $6 fee with your entry. So here is a recap of the important dates and other information for this event. Tournament date is April 4 through 6. Entry deadline, March 14. Cutoff date for statistical sheet information, March 1. Hotel, Crown Plaza, Hampton Marina, 700 Settlers Landing Road, Hampton, Virginia, 23669. Phone number, 757-727-8914. Room rate, $104 plus tax per night. Hotel reservation cutoff date, March 14. Bowling Center, Century Lanes, 1519 East Pembroke Avenue, Hampton, Virginia, 23663. Phone number 757-722-2551. And your entry fees, regular tournament $56, Masters Tournament $25. Please make all of your checks payable to SBBA Tournament. and mail them to Sandy McDaniel, 115 Powell Boulevard, apartment 14102, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114. ABBA awards are given as follows. Single games over average, 100 pins over average. Let me see here. Yes, 100 pins over, 75 pins over, and 60 pins over for averages of less than 100. There are two categories of silver and bronze. For silver, PM 225 and over, TM 175 and over, PF 195 and over, TF 155 and over, SM 260 and over, SF 230 and over. And in the bronze category, 215 to 224, TM 165 to 174, PF 185 to 194, TF 145 to 154, SM 250 to 259, and SF 220 to 229. Triplicates and the following splits. 4-6, 4-6-10, 4-6-7, 4-6-7-10, 7-8-10, 8-10, 7-9-10, 7-9, and 7-10. If anyone bowls a game which qualifies for an award, please let Ginger know, preferably by email or a note, so that it can be requested. The Sightly Worn Thrift Store will reopen on March 7. Come on in and meet our new manager, Joan. New hours are Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. Donations will be accepted each week on these 3 days during the hours of business. At this time, we are not accepting any clothing, mattresses, bed pillows, non-working appliances, televisions, VCRs, computers, printers, and or computer accessories. We look forward to seeing you at our regular customers and meeting our new customers. And there will be more updates soon. So see you March 7. Hot Shots, Week 19. Renee Benton, 108. Dennis Glenn, 111. Van McLean Sr., 93. Karen Broderick, 103. Azaria Dowd, 124. Shelby Foster, 155. Albert Roberson, 147. Sharon Benton, 124. Miriam Dixon, 133. Marjorie Conyers, 134. Ralph Height, 183. Dwight Jones, 106. Kaisha Adams, 158. Marjorie Hurd, 118. Carla Smith, 138. Kevin Foster, 172. Thelma Crumpler, 118. Reggie Blunt, 115. Van McLean Jr., 156. Herbert Everett, 190. Rochelle Sharp, 114. Mike Rush, 94. Matt Bowers, 149. And Robert Parrish, 135. To benefit the CBA Youth Account, we have another raffle going on. The first prize is a $100 gift card. Second prize is a $50 gift card. And third prize is a homemade quilt. Tickets are $1 each, and we will draw for the winner at the Raleigh Outlaw Invitational next spring. You do not have to be present to win. See Jeff Tucker for tickets. And Jeff also has a new stock of black ink pens, if anyone needs any. They go for $2 individually, or three of them for $5. How about your outlaw clothing? If anyone is in need of outlaw shirts and jackets, please see Ginger. A total of 12 items are needed to be able to place a group order. Price list is on the back page of the email copy of these notes, and payment is requested in advance. A putt-putt tournament has been announced. It says, are you ready for some fun fellowship and friendly competition? Then join us on Saturday, April 13, for the 31st Annual VIP Mini Golf Tournament. It's taking place at the scenic Dan Nichols Park in Salisbury, North Carolina. Meet up with old friends or make some new ones. The registration deadline is March 22. The registration packet and flyer are attached to your email copy of these notes. Registration is completed by a county through a social worker or group leader or individual, if neither a social worker or group leader is available. If there is a new participant or a new county participating for the first time, or if you have any questions, please contact Vernice Gallen Clyburn. And if anyone is interested in volunteering, please contact Edward Haley. His number is 704-216-7782. Thank you very much for your continued support and participation. Looking forward to seeing everyone in April to help us celebrate 31 years. So says Vernice Gallen Clyburn, LRT, CTRS, Therapeutic Recreation Supervisor, Rowan County Parks and Recreation, Therapeutic Recreation Division, Ellis Park, 3541 Old Moxville Road, Salisbury, North Carolina, 28144. And Vernice's phone number, 704-216-7781. And her cell, 704-223-5965. Or a fax number, 704-216-7973. Now, mark your calendars for the ADA Live episode number 66, Theme Parks and Accessibility, on Wednesday, March the 6th, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at SoundCloud ADA Live, as well as Facebook Southeast ADA Center. Captioning in Zoom on March 6th for ADA Live, episode 66 will be available. Learn more and explore this at www.adalive.org. They go on to say, did you know that attendance at the top 20 theme parks in North America grew by 2.3%, setting a record of over 150 million visitors according to the 2017 Theme Index, a study published by the Themed Entertainment Association, known as TEA, and AECOM. The American with Disabilities Act ensures equality for people with disabilities at places of public accommodation. This includes theme parks that must ensure that they are accessible, which is more than wheelchair access. Accessibility includes, but is not limited to, providing inclusive experiences in planning for and during a theme park visit, such as ticketing, online reservations, web applications, alternate formats, listening devices for people who are deaf or have hearing loss, audio descriptions for people who are blind or have low vision, and more. This episode of ADA Live will feature Judy Toth, T-O-T-H, the safety manager of Dollywood Parks and Resorts, sharing how Dollywood ensures a memorable experience for everyone. Do you have a question? Contact them at adalive.org/submit_question. And now, our top tech tidbits. We are reading the titles and descriptions of top tech tidbits. The associated internet addresses are available by calling the Triangle Radio Reading Service at 919-832-5138. You can also access them by subscribing to Flying Blind at www.flying-blind.com, where you will find a weekly email that includes this information, as well as classified ads for various pieces of computer equipment, screen readers, braille displays, etc. And the highlights for March 1 are Envision AI and Be My Eyes Background. Two remarkable smartphone apps were featured in The Hindu. Navigating the new Office Ribbon webinar. Register for the next Microsoft Accessibility Webinar, Navigating the New Office Ribbon, March 20, 2019 at GMT 1900. 109 curated learning and development articles from 2018. These learning and developmental articles cover a number of topics, including accessibilities. We are the Music Makers. The Mystic Access free class for the month will cover recommended music streaming services. This was held on March 1 at GMT 1:30. Or you can catch the recording of this when it becomes available later. Professional JAWS scripts for Zoom. Brian Hartgen has produced JAWS scripts for Zoom conferencing platform that add to the system's accessibility and give the user more information and control. The scripts cost £30. That's English currency. Free JAWS for YouTube. Doug Lee has updated his scripts that increase the accessibility of YouTube. Version 3.6 of Era's iPhone GPS apps has been released. New features include improved address and POI searches, automatic announcement for heading changes over 50 degrees, options for indoor navigation, and a less expensive monthly subscription. That's always good news. Libre, L-I-B-R-E, Libre or Libre, a device for blind diabetics on Tech Talk. Hear about this new device for diabetics on Tech Talk on Tuesday, March 5 at GMT 0100. Browsing the web using Zoom Text. This article from Mumbai, India, describes the magnification options of Zoom Text. And Zoom Text FAQ. Freedom Scientific offers a FAQ document regarding the various versions of Zoom Text. Next, accessibility support for Microsoft Planner. The Planner team has been working on improving the accessibility of the app. And there's a forthcoming book from Dean Martineau, The Windows Keyboard Power User Guide. Taking Control of Your Computer Keyboard in Windows, JAWS, and Word will be out in April 2019 in audio and text formats and at an affordable price. Write to the author with any questions or if you want a for sure notification when it's ready. View Plus Graphical Braille Embossers on Eyes on Success. Hear about the development and capabilities of these embossers in episode 1909 of Eyes on Success. And finally, Nucleus Research conducting phone interviews to understand how accessibility impacts your likelihood to do business with different firms. Nucleus Research, an independent IT analyst firm, is working on some important research to understand how the accessibility of consumer-facing websites and applications impacts persons with disabilities. They believe accessibility is not just a checklist requirement, but an important factor in providing all consumers with a positive experience. They are conducting brief, fewer than 15 minutes, phone interviews to understand how accessibility impacts your likelihood to do business with different firms. The first 100 respondents will be entered in a drawing to receive a $100 Amazon gift card. To participate, please contact Rebecca or Ben at Nucleus Research. The email address would be rebecca@nucleusresearch.com, or you can reach either of them at telephone number 617-720-2000. We now move on to the calendar of events. And here's information provided by Robert Parrish, the Wake Federation of the Blind President. He writes that the Wake Federation of the Blind has changed their meeting time. The location is at the usual location, which is the Community United Church of Christ at 814 Dixie Trail in Raleigh. Their next meeting will take place on Saturday, March 9, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. As always, he asks that, quote, if you have questions or comments, please call me. My number is 919-616-1606, and my email number address is robertcparrish7@gmail.com. I hope to see you all there. Moving on, you're invited to take a look at the Arts Access website at www.artsaccessinc.org/ad performances.sh HTML for a listing of audio-described performances. The Raleigh Mayor's Committee for Persons with Disabilities' next meeting will be Thursday, March 21, from noon until 1 o'clock p.m. The organization meets in room 305 of the City Municipal Building at 222 West Hargett Street, downtown Raleigh. Ricky Scott is now the Mayor's Committee Chair, and his contact information is 919-673-8300 or by email rickyscott09, that's R-I-C-K-Y-S-C-O-T-T-09, at gmail.com. The Raleigh Wake Chapter of the North Carolina Council of the Blind will be meeting, as it does regularly, on the second Thursday of each month from 7 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. at the Emmanuel Baptist Church located at 2110 Noble Road, Raleigh. Please contact Lawrence Carter at 919-856-0034 for more information about this group's schedule and its activities. There is a free health fair coming up. It'll be March the 30th from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., and it will be held at the First Cosmopolitan Baptist Church at 1515 Cross Link Road, Raleigh. Services offered will include health screening, blood pressure, BMI check, mammograms, HIV/STD, kidney/stroke, child dental screening, and there will be some giveaways. For more information, give them a call at 919-833-3283. And now a very, very pleasant part of our program today, recipes that will bowl you over, and they come from the Check Wagon Gang. I guess I'm a little tongue-tied because it's March, so in honor of St. Patrick's Day, we will bring you some Irish recipes, won't we now? We'll begin with a little bit of Irish stew, and that's the end of my accent. The ingredients for the Irish stew, 1 pound of boneless lamb or boneless beef chuck roast, cut into 3/4 inch pieces, 4 cups of beef broth, 2 medium onions cut in wedges, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1 bay leaf, 4 medium potatoes, that's about 1.5 pounds, peeled and quartered, 6 medium carrots sliced, 1/2 inch thick, and a total of 3 cups is what it should make. 1/2 teaspoon of dried thyme, crushed. 1/4 teaspoon of dried basil, crushed. 1/2 cup of cold water. 1/4 cup of all-purpose flour. And optionally, a few sprigs of fresh thyme. Now, it's interesting. In a large saucepan, combine the lamb or the beef, the beef broth, the onions, the pepper, and the bay leaf. Bring it to a boil and then reduce the heat. Cover it and simmer for 45 minutes. Then skim off the fat. Add the potatoes, carrots, dried thyme, and basil. Bring it to boiling once again and then reduce the heat. Cover the pan and then simmer for 30 to 35 minutes more, or until the vegetables are tender. Remove bay leaf and discard it. Stir together the cold water and the flour, and then stir that into the stew. Continue to cook and stir until it's thickened and bubbly, and then cook and stir for 1 minute more. Season it to taste with some salt and pepper, then garnish it with the thyme if you like. And then, by golly, go out and have a good cup. Maybe a whole bowl of that stew, eh? And if that doesn't do it for you, let's try the next one. Chocolate Irish cream cheesecake it is, my dear. For that, you're going to need 1 1/2 cups of finely crushed chocolate wafers, about 18 cookies, 6 tablespoons of butter melted, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 3 8-ounce packages of cream cheese, softened, 1 8-ounce carton of dairy sour cream, 1 cup of sugar, 1 8-ounce package of semi-sweet chocolate melted and cooled, 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of Irish cream liqueur, 2 tablespoons of whipping cream or milk, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla. Well, we have to do something with that before we can enjoy it. So let's preheat the oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. For the crust, in a medium bowl, combine crushed chocolate wafers, melted butter, and cinnamon. Toss gently to mix. Then press the mixture into the bottom and up the side of a 9 or a 10-inch spring-form pan, and then set it aside. For the filling, in a large bowl, combine cream cheese, sour cream, sugar, and melted chocolate. Beat with an electric mixer on medium to high speed until it's smooth. Using a wooden spoon, stir in the eggs just until they're combined. Stir in the liqueur, the whipping cream or the milk, and the vanilla. Pour a filling into the crust-lined pan. Place the springform pan in a shallow baking pan and bake for 50 to 60 minutes or until the center appears nearly set when gently shaken. Cool in the springform pan on a wire rack for 15 minutes. Then, using a sharp knife, a small one, loosen from the side of the pan. Cool for 30 minutes more. Then remove the side of the springform pan. Cool it for another hour. Then cover it and chill it for at least 6 hours or up to a maximum of 24 hours. And this will give you 16 servings of what I think would be rather delicious chocolate ice cream cheesecake. Well, we're not done. How about Irish coffee cheesecake? Now, that'll give you something interesting to go with. You're going to need 22 crisp oatmeal cookies, 3 tablespoons of cold unsalted butter cut into small pieces, 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 3 8-ounce packages of cream cheese softened, Let's see here. 1 cup of packed brown sugar, 4 eggs, 3 tablespoons of coffee liqueur or milk, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla, 2 tablespoons of instant espresso coffee powder, 1/3 cup of Irish whiskey or milk. Now, that's strange. I don't equate Irish whiskey and milk, but that's what the recipe says. Then we'll go with 1 teaspoon of instant espresso coffee powder, and 1 teaspoon of granulated sugar, 1 tablespoon of whipping cream, 1 1/2 cups of whipping cream. You notice we have some duplications in there, but I think there's a reason when we get to the directions. Let's see. That takes us to 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar and then chocolate, coffee beans, or mocha beans. All right. Now let's get on with how to do it. For the crust, lightly butter a 9-inch springform pan. Set it aside. In a food processor bowl, process cookies until they're finely crushed. You should end up with about 2 cups of crumbs. Add the butter, the 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, and the cinnamon. Process this until the mixture is combined. Or you can crush the cookies in a plastic bag with a rolling pin. And then, in a bowl, combine cookie crumbs with the tablespoon of brown sugar and the cinnamon. Then, using a pastry blender, cut in the butter until the mixture is well mixed. Okay, next, press the crust mixture into the bottom and 1 1/2 inches up the side of the prepared pan. Bake in a 375 degree Fahrenheit oven for 8 minutes or until it's firm. Cool it completely on a wire rack. For the filling, in a large bowl, beat cream cheese and 1 cup of brown sugar with an electric mixer until it's well combined. Add the eggs all at once and beat on a low speed until just combined. Stir in the liqueur or the milk and vanilla. Dissolve the 2 tablespoons of espresso coffee powder in Irish whiskey or milk. Add to the cream cheese mixture. Stir until just combined. Pour into cooled crust. Bake in a 350 degree Fahrenheit oven for about 50 minutes or until the center appears nearly set when you shake it. Remove from the oven. Cool for 15 minutes. Loosen the crust from the side of the pan. Cool for 30 minutes more. Remove the side of the pan, then cool for an hour. Cover and chill for at least 6 hours. Now, one more step for the topping. Dissolve the 1 teaspoon espresso coffee powder and the 1 teaspoon of granulated sugar in the 1 tablespoon of whipping cream. In a medium bowl, beat the 1.5 cups of whipping cream with the 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar until stiff peaks form. That is, the peaks are standing straight. Fold in the espresso mixture, spread on top of the chilled cheesecake, garnish with chocolate coffee beans, let it stand at room temperature for 15 minutes before serving. This will give you about 12 to 16 servings, my dear, of a very delicious item for St. Patrick's Day. Now, on a different note from the news. Walmart is getting rid of greeters. Disabled workers worried. This comes from Michael Rubicon of the Associated Press. As Walmart moves to phase out its familiar blue-vested greeters at some 1,000 stores nationwide, disabled workers who fill many of those jobs say that they are being ill-treated by a chain that styles itself as a community-minded and inclusive organization. Walmart told greeters around the country last week that their positions would be eliminated on April 26 in favor of an expanded, more physically demanding customer host role. To qualify to be a customer host, they will need to be able to lift 25-pound packages, climb ladders, and stand for long periods of time. That came as a heavy blow to greeters with cerebral palsy, spina bifida, and other physical disabilities. For them, a job at Walmart has provided needed income, served as a source of pride, and offered a connection to the community. Now Walmart, America's largest private employer, is facing backlash as customers rally around some of the chain's most visible and beloved employees. Walmart says it is striving to place the greeters in other jobs at the company, but workers with disabilities are worried. Donnie Fagnano, age 56, who has worked at Walmart for more than 20 years, said he cried when a manager at the store in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, called him into the office last week and told him his job was going away. "I like working," he said. "It's better than sitting at home." He has spina bifida and said he was offered a severance package. He hopes to stay on at Walmart and clean bathrooms instead. Teresa Sowers, an 81-year-old greeter with heart failure, said she desperately needs her Walmart job to help pay for her medicine and mortgage. Sowers of Stuart, Florida, who's worked for the chain for more than 18 years, said her manager told her they had no other opening suited to her ability. "I never thought they would do this. I feel like I'm thrown to the wolves," Sowers said. Her sister-in-law, Cecilia Appleby, was even more blunt. "They've done her wrong. They've done her absolutely wrong. They just don't like the handicapped." Walmart greeters have been around for decades, allowing the retail giant to put a friendly face on the front of its stores. Then in 2016, Walmart began replacing greeters with hosts with responsibilities that include not only welcoming customers but helping with returns, checking receipts to deter shoplifters, and keeping the front of the store clean. Walmart and other chains have been redefining roles at stores as they compete with Amazon. The effect of the greeter phase-out on disabled and elderly employees, who have traditionally gravitated toward the role as one they were well-suited to doing, largely escaped public notice until last week, when Walmart launched a second round of cuts. As word spread, first on social media and then in local and national news outlets, outraged customers began calling Walmart to complain. Tens of thousands of people signed petitions. Facebook groups sprang up with names like Team Adam and Save Leslie. A second-grade class in California wrote letters to Walmart's CEO on behalf of Adam Caitlin and disabled greeter in Pennsylvania, whose mother had written an impassioned Facebook post about his plight. Walmart said it has offered another job to Caitlin. In Galena, Illinois, hundreds of customers plan to attend an appreciation parade for Ashley Powell on her last day of work as a greeter. I love it, and I think I've touched a lot of people, said Powell, 34, who has an intellectual disability. She once rescued a 3-year-old boy who had wandered into the parking lot and led him back to his parents at checkout. In Vancouver, Washington, John Combs, age 42, who has cerebral palsy, was devastated and then angered by his impending job loss. It had taken his family 5 years to find him a job that he could do, and he loved the work, coming up with nicknames for all his coworkers. What am I going to do? Just sit here on my butt all day in this house? That's all I'm going to do? Combs asked his sister and guardian, Rachel Wasser. I do my job. I didn't do anything wrong. Wasser urged the retailer to give these people a fair shake. If you want to make your actions match your words, do it. Don't be a wolf in sheep's clothing. With U.S. unemployment rate for disabled people more than twice the workers for workers without disabilities, Walmart has long been seen as a destination for people like Combs. Advocacy groups worry the company is backsliding. It's the messaging that concerns me, said Gabrielle Setter, chief operations officer at ANCOR, a trade group representing service providers. Given that Walmart is such an international leader in the retail space, I'm concerned this decision might suggest to some people that the bottom line of the company is more important to the company than inclusive communities. We don't think those two are mutually exclusive. The greeter issue has already prompted at least three complaints, to the U.S. Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, as well as a federal lawsuit in Utah, alleging discriminations under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Under the federal law, employers must provide reasonable accommodations to workers with disabilities. Walmart did not disclose how many disabled greeters could lose their jobs. The company said that after it made the change at more than 1,000 stores in 2016, 80 to 85% of all affected greeters found other roles at Walmart. It did not reveal how many of them were disabled. Last week, Walmart told greeters they would have the customary 60 days to land other jobs at the company. Amid the uproar, the company has extended the deadline indefinitely for greeters with disabilities. We recognize that our associates with physical disabilities face a unique situation, Walmart spokesman Justin Rushing said in a statement. The extra time, he said, will give Walmart a chance to explore how to accommodate such employees. Walmart said it has already made offers to some greeters, including those with physical disabilities, and expects to continue doing so in the coming weeks. Some workers, however, say that they have been tacitly discouraged from applying for other jobs. Michelle Hartzell, 31, a full-time Walmart greeter in Hazel Green, Alabama, said his manager told him they pretty much didn't have anything in the store for me to do after his job winds down in April. He said he persisted, approaching several assistant managers to ask about openings and found out about a vacant position at self-checkout. But it had already been promised to a greeter who doesn't use a wheelchair, he said. It seems like they just don't want us anymore, said Hartzell, who has cerebral palsy. Jay Melton, age 40, who has worked as a greeter in Marion, North Carolina for nearly 17 years, loves church, Tar Heels basketball, and Walmart. His sister-in-law, Jamie Melton, said the job is what gets him out of bed. He doesn't have a lot of things he does himself that bring him joy, she said. Addressing Walmart, Melton added, when you cut a huge population of people out, and you have a written policy that declares they are no longer capable of doing what they have been doing, that is You have been listening to the March 1, 2019 edition of Spare Times, the news and notes of the Raleigh Outlaws. We certainly hope that you have enjoyed it. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is readily available as a podcast at www.triangleReadingService.org. I am Dick Hayden for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.